people who start bands are not being realistic. People get into bands thinking, it's going to be fun all the time, which is why most bands are ill-prepared for even the simplest of challenges, let alone the stress of a real professional setback, or even just modest success. It's been well documented that the band Aerosmith went into therapy. They publicly thanked their therapist for putting the band back together. So we thought we'd look the guy up who did it, and we found him. His name is Dr. Lou Cox. He's a Manhattan therapist who specializes in working with rock bands. He says he starts working with a band by talking individually with each band member. Then he holds a 2 or 3 day intensive workshop where he helps the band talk with each other.
When a band calls me in, they're usually in some pretty serious trouble, and they're in trouble with each other, and they've lost the connection to each other, and they've kind of lost the joy and the pleasure and the power and the excitement of what they can do. And they've been out of touch with that for a while. Even though they still may be performing, it's gotten unpleasurable. So part of that workshop is going back in time to get them to remember what is it that drew them together in the first place. And in a certain sense, you know, a lot of band members really love each other.
Sure.
And then they have a falling out, almost like a marriage.
What seems different to me than about a marriage, which is obviously based on an idea of equality or a good marriage, bands are often very unequal in,
yes,
in the way the roles are divvied up and,
yes,
and what people's responsibilities right are, and also just what people's abilities are. How do you sort of reconcile the inherent unfairness of being in a band?
Yeah, well, some of that can't be changed. I think part of it is every band member plays a different role simply because of the choice of their instrument, you know, whether that's a voice or the bass guitar, or lead guitar, or whatever. And the personalities that go with those instruments is usually different. You know, like when you think about the bass player, who's kind of the bridge between rhythm and melody, that person is probably going to be a little more diplomatic, mm-hmm, versus the star, let's say, who's going to be much more self-involved and has to be in order to do that role. So if they get their roles clear, they're getting enough of a sense of contribution and validation, it works. But what happens is, you know, a lot of times, especially when fame comes in, and now the public eye is looking much more at the star rather than the drummer, let's say, or the bass player, that can really stir the ego issue up, you know, and then there's a sense of, you know, I'm not getting credit, or I'm not getting enough time on air, or whatever it may be. And if you can't talk about that stuff, then you're not going to be able to get past it, and it's going to jam things up.
But how far into the creative process within the group dynamic of a band can you go? I mean, I sort of see you driving home after the first day of therapy with a cassette of the drummer's songs in your car and having to explain to the lead singer, no, he's got some good tunes. You should check it out.
That's a place I stay way, way, way out.
You're not going to get into record production?
What I teach is, here's the stuff that makes it impossible for you guys to talk about this. It's very human stuff. Getting defensive about stuff you don't want to hear. It's stuff about being hurt. It's stuff about feeling discredited, put down. It's stuff about being fearful of coming forth with what you have. I mean, when you come forth with a creative idea and your band member says, that sucks, you know, that's a hurtful moment. And most people in a band will not acknowledge that that's so. That sort of style, you know, in a lot of bands, especially in the rock and roll world, it's about being tough guys, you know, so you don't acknowledge that you have sensitivity. I'm more interested in how come you're not listening to each other.
I can only imagine that the bands you work with are extraordinarily successful, just because most small bands on the verge of breaking up, you know, have a hard time even getting their friends to return their phone calls.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah. I think it takes a kind of wise group to know they need this kind of help. It just mm-hmm seems like how it works is that, you know, we're young, we're going to conquer the world, and if there is success and they're really doing, they've had their first album, or the second album, they're touring, they're getting a lot of publicity, why mess with it?
Dr. Lou Cox, we certainly want to thank you for being on Now Hear This.
Thank you for having me. It's a treat.
So, after my conversation with Dr. Cox, I started calling up a lot of bands to see if anybody was going into therapy. And pretty much every band's answer was the same. It was either, we should, but we never will, or we are not going to talk about that. Then we heard about the band Sleater-Kinney. They actually had gone on the record about their experience with band therapy, so we gave them a call. And it turns out it was actually in the wake of their breakthrough album, Dig Me Out, that they realized they were in real trouble as a band. The three members, Carrie Brownstein, Corin Tucker, and Janet Weiss, say it was after a show in Austin, Texas, that they knew things had gone from bad to worse.
Corin and I had a little incident in Austin. You know,
we had some killer fight.
Corin, I can't remember. No, Corin, remember you actually walked. Corin, asked us to let her off at the side of the freeway.
At 2 in the morning.
In Austin, Texas, and wandered off to some other hotel. We didn't know whether we would find her the next morning because we didn't know where she was staying. It was in the pre-cell phone days. So, you know, we thought after that, maybe we should go and seek some help.
But what was that eureka moment that made you say, hey, you know, we can treat this band like we're in a couple, like we should go see a therapist? Most bands don't even, you know, they just storm out of the room.
I mean, I think that anybody that's in a band, whether they would admit it or not, knows that it's the most analogous relationship to either a family or a love relationship. I mean, it's like being in a family. We would just rather model it after a functional family than a dysfunctional one. And some bands, I think, really get off on the dysfunction of their band, and they kind of feed off that energy on stage or that anger, and we just didn't really want to do that.
It actually was really incredible. I had no idea that I could walk into a room feeling like I could just kill these two people. There's no way that I'm going to be in a band with them anymore. And an hour later, I would walk out and we'd all be hugging. You know, it was incredible. It was really amazing.
Was that the first session or was that just every session for the first couple of years?
That was pretty much, we actually didn't go that many times. Yeah. We kind of would go for refreshers when we felt the tensions building up. We felt like we were about to break some of the rules. We would go back for a refresher. But it's mostly they just help you not get overwhelmed, you know, how to deal with these feelings that you're going to feel being with someone every day for 5 weeks, you know. And when you're on tour, it's really stressful. And they just give you some sort of ways of sort of talking yourself down. And if things get really overwhelming, you can, call an emergency session. And I think it's taught us to prioritize our friendship and the relationship between the three of us as being the most important thing in the band, more important than the music.
So what were the guidelines or the rules that they kind of gave you?
Well, the first rule when you have a three-person band is no evil-minded buddying up. All configurations have happened. It's been two against one in every possible way. And so the first rule was not to do that. And the second one, I think this specifically was addressed to Corin, was that you couldn't just walk off
in Austin.
Yeah. You had to at least talk and figure out a time to have a meeting about it. I can't remember what were the other rules. Oh, you couldn't quit the band.
You couldn't quit the band. No making big decisions on tour. You have to say you're sorry.
You have to say thank you.
What? Yeah. We didn't have that rule.
Yeah, we did.
Really?
Now, how difficult was it to actually do the multiple sessions? I mean, that seems like a big commitment. Even if you enjoyed what you're doing, just have to revisit all this stuff. I don't feel like people are really set up for that.
Well, I felt like it was kind of the experience of getting a sliver pulled out of your hand. It's painful, but it already hurts, you know. And the experience was a big release of this tension of, you know, working under really stressful conditions for years and not really having the tools to you know, sort of work on our problems. You know, one of my tools was just sort of storming off. So I learned that that's not really the best way to handle getting upset or whatever. So
also, I think just hearing my bandmates reassert their love for the band and sort of their love for me was really important because we'd been through some sort of bitter moments. And just to know that, you know, we all still really wanted to do this was a big deal and really just made me feel just much more secure and a lot happier. And that's just not something that people say to each other, you know, at band practice every day.
We've talked to a bunch of bands about going into therapy, and one thing everybody agrees is that it's a really good idea. but nobody wants to talk about it. And I'm just curious, it seems like you're essentially pretty vocal about it, pretty open about your experience. I'm just have to ask you why.
We're not ashamed of it. at all, but you know, it's not a platform, or we're not, you know, promoting band therapy. I mean, it's something that we did and it worked for us. So
I think a lot of bands don't realize that it's an option. I mean, I think a lot of great bands, a lot of bands that I love have broken up, and I think to myself, like, man, just a few counseling sessions, you could have worked through, you know, these sort of minor irritations that build up. But there are a lot of people who think it's just a bunch of gibberish.
You're listening to Now Hear This on WNYC with John Flansburgh. My guests have been Corin Tucker, Carrie Brownstein, and Janet Weiss from Slater Kinney. Thank you so much for being our guests.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
We're doing something new here at Now Hear This on WNYC, and we want to know what you think. Please respond to the listener survey at WNYC.org on the Now Hear This page.